We are delighted to see each one of you this evening, and we do have visitors both from the community and from other parts of the state who are traveling through, and this was a convenient place for you to stop on your way back home, and we thank you for taking the time to stop and worship with us and pray that the things we talk about this evening are going to be pleasing to God and that they'll profit each one of us. If you'll open your Bibles with me over to 2 Timothy, I'm going to read in just a moment from that passage in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I was going to have a PowerPoint presentation, but I started tinkering with it, and then something went wrong, and I thought this would be an excellent opportunity to prove that I can preach without PowerPoint. Maybe I've overspoken my case. We'll see at the end of the sermon if that indeed is the case or not. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the young evangelist Timothy, gives a passage that we're quite familiar with when he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Some translations say handling aright the word of truth. He is telling Timothy that it's our responsibility to take God's word and on every occasion cut a straight line. The value of that information is very evident when we think about what we need to do, what we need to understand in order to allow God's word to harmonize with itself. One of the great problems that arises among our religious friends is the fact that they often see confusion when they try to take this part of God's word with that part of God's word, and instead of looking for the way for them to melt together, they have it butting heads with each other. And when that happens, there's not going to be harmony. And oftentimes it's because they're not looking for harmony. The problem often comes from the fact that they're impatient with getting to know what all of God's Word is about on a particular subject, on a particular matter. And that's going to lead us to the lesson this evening as we talk about the importance of patience within our lives. I've shared with some the story of the true story of a time when I was preaching for a congregation in Columbus, Indiana, and one of the ladies at the library there talked about the fact that the library, the Friends of the Library, had given the library a microwave. She said that before that, as they were going to take a break, they knew that they had to go 15 minutes in advance and go down and turn on the coffee machine so that it would be ready for them. The coffee would be hot when they went to get their coffee. And then this great microwave came along, and they were able to simply put the cup of coffee in the microwave, and within like 10 or 15 or 20 seconds, they had themselves some hot water or hot coffee ready to drink. She said it wasn't very long until they found themselves hitting the controls, setting it for the 15 seconds, and then begin to tap their foot, cross their arms, and get impatient as they watched the timer click down the 15 seconds. Forget the fact that it used to take 15 minutes. Now they were impatient with 15 seconds. And I think that's an apt description of most of the things that have happened within our lives, and therefore brings about what would have been a title on the screen behind us, the idea that we want patience and we want it now. Each and every one of us have probably found that to be a problem within their lives. And I must tell you that I, probably as much as anybody here, grew up as one of the most impatient people you would ever want to know. And I'm still trying to learn patience. And quite frankly, the greatest difficulty with regard to patience that I experience is patience with myself. And perhaps that's true for some of you as well. What really comes from this idea of patience and the desire for patience within our lives is the fact that we have an attitude that says, indeed, I need it now, no matter what it might be. For indeed, we have become a part of a very spoiled nation in which we see everything being done immediately. Instant gratification is found as we go to the drive-thru to get the fast food that we're wanting. As we go about various tasks, we expect on our computer for it to operate immediately. And when it doesn't operate immediately, we can even find ourselves losing our tempers. Now, at first, that can seem to be something that's trivial, insignificant, and even at times somewhat humorous as we lose our patience. But I would suggest to you that it can also, and only each one of us and perhaps our spouses or maybe even our children might know, it can even lead to some sinful attitudes that will manifest as we're expecting to receive that quick, immediate response. And because we're not getting it right away, we fly off the handle. Because we don't get it right away, we react in ways that are contrary to who we are as children of God. That impatience then puts us into the category of those who don't even know God, who won't even claim God. The category of those who have crossed the line to have impatience create sin within our lives. There are things that indeed require time, and they require effort. They require diligence, and they require discipline, and there's no getting around it. And we have to learn that that's simply our lot in life as we deal with those things. Let's open our Bibles, if you will, please, over to 2 Peter, and read with me in 2 Peter, the first chapter. And for those who might not be aware, I'll be reading from the New King James. Most of the members are aware of that. But in 2 Peter, here in the first chapter, I want to read verses 5, 6, and 7. And then I'll jump down and read verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5, 6, 7, and then down to 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And then he goes on to make the point in verse 10, therefore, brethren, for even so, even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Within these verses, we have the call for the Christian graces as we've come to know them. And what we're going to do in a couple of weeks is begin with the idea of faith there and talk about the building blocks that lead ultimately to a completeness of who we are as children of God. Within that, we find this sense of patience. Now, when we present the series, we're going to be looking at patience in a little fuller detail and from a little different perspective as well. But for this evening, I'm simply wanting to make the point that it is our responsibility as children of God to simply understand that we have to say it takes time for the things we want to flourish, for us to let them be nourished and therefore bring forth the fruit that God would expect us to bring forth with them. Now, as we consider this matter of patience, we recognize also the fact that it is important that we recognize the value of self-improvement in every aspect of our lives, but especially in including this idea of patience. It needs to be a goal for each one of us to recognize exactly where we are on a continuum of the individual who has a very, what we might say, a very short fuse, who blows up at the drop of a hat, over to the individual that just doesn't seem to be bothered by a thing in the world. Here's the problem with most extremes. They never really fit into God's plan. God wants us to have a balance, an equilibrium within our lives. And by that, I'm not suggesting that we compromise a truth in God's Word, but rather that we understand what that balance is to be within our lives. We need to take the time to understand where we are on the continuum. And it isn't justified before God if we find ourselves at the extreme that says, I blow my top at the very moment that I'm upset about something, and it's not pleasing to God that I sit back and I'm indifferent about the wrongs that need to be righted within my life. And the only way to know where we are on that continuum is the self-awareness and the seeking of wise counsel from those around us. I think a part of good husband-wife relationships is for a husband or wife to be able to speak to their spouse and say, you're coming up short in this matter of patience. You need to learn to just be more tolerant of the children as they're trying to understand what you ask of them. Connie's not here this evening, but I can guarantee you that I heard that speech on many, many occasions in my life. And every time she gave me the speech, she was exactly right. I needed to step back and learn the patience in dealing with my children's shortcomings. Because oftentimes, what we end up doing when we're on that extreme is we're compensating for the very fact that we ourselves see the flaws within ourselves and we don't have patience about ourselves. It's important that we understand that if we're going to take on the attitude that God wants us to have about the sense of self-improvement and how we develop the balance of patience within our lives, that we are able to really just sit back and play the subliminal message within our minds. And I don't want this to sound freakish like we're talking to ourselves, but we are in fact engaged in conversation with ourselves that's saying, I need greater patience here. I need more tolerance here. I need to have a better understanding of a situation here. And in doing so, I present myself as a better spouse. I present myself as a better parent. I present myself as a better child of God. And for the men in the congregation, one day you will be preparing yourselves to serve this congregation as pastors, as overseers of elders within the congregation. But it all begins with understanding where I am along the spectrum. Because while we're talking about the idea of patience right now, I want to take a moment and talk about this sense of being so far over to the other extreme that nothing seems to move the needle for us. That type of individual is not going to be one who will give their children the instruction they need, because they end up simply allowing society to decide such things as what is modest apparel. They'll allow society to decide what is the appropriate respect the child is going to show me. Within the husband and wife relationship, society may decide for me, if I have a rather docile attitude and disposition, they're going to decide for me the type of husband or wife I'm to be. The moment society decides for me what I am to be with regard to this question of patience is the moment I have yielded God's authority in my life. Even if it seems insignificant, even if it seems trivial, we begin to open the door and it begins to take away again and again a little piece of our conscience as to who we are and what we are to present to those around us. And in doing so, we end up with nothing like what God wants of us with regard to this issue of patience. So what I'm saying right at this point is, there is no pride to be taken, and we'd all agree on this, of being a very impatient person, and there's no pride to be taken of being such a patient person that we allow sin to go unchecked and unchallenged, either within our own lives or in the lives of those we love so much. We have the responsibility of recognizing that at the heart of this question of patience is the idea of understanding what real self-improvement is that will bring us to this point of biblical equilibrium with regard to this important matter. I think it's dangerous for us to underestimate the difficulty of having true, real improvement within our lives, within our character. We can allow ourselves to get so inflated with who we are and what we're about that we end up not doing as God would have us to do and be as God would have us to be within our lives. In real life, there is no worthwhile thing that needs changing that is done effortlessly. All of our children who are involved in school, whether it's at the very early stages of school or those of you who have gone on to college, and we who are parents can attest to this if we'll take a moment to reflect upon it. Absolutely, it is essential for us to recognize that our character is the result of efforts that are put forth. Our children's development is the result of efforts that are put forth. If who I am and what I'm to be with regard to patience is simply directed by how the winds might blow, how the currents might move me, then what do I end up with? I end up with an authority that is not of God, but rather of men. And therefore, ultimately, I don't believe that I'll end up with the kind of patience God wants me to have. I'll end up with something that is palatable to men, and by that I mean society, rather than the will of God. One's character certainly needs to be a true reflection of who we are before God. If your character is not a reflection of that, then it's time for self-examination to bring yourself in line with the will of God. Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, for a moment. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. On Sunday mornings, we have been doing the Sermon on the Mount and talking about the radical nature of being citizens in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, and the radical nature that is required of us. And what we want to recognize is that because of that radical nature, it goes against the grain of what we might tend to want to be. And it certainly is going to go in opposition to what our society around us wants us to be, even though we live in an area that makes proclamation of great spiritual depth and a desire to follow Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles open with me, again reading from the New King James, here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 9, 10, and 11. Furthermore, we have human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The Hebrew writer tells us in this particular passage that after you've stripped everything away, when you get all the filth off of us, what you need to understand quite simply is this: it's going to be painful to make changes in our lives. And because it's going to be painful, it's not always going to be easy. And again, it's easy for those who are impatient to look at the one with patience in admiration, if not downright jealousy. But the danger also is the one who has that passivity about their patience to recognize that they too stand in danger of God's chastening, even in times when they appear to be so patient. If that patience is compromising the will of God, then no good will come from it. We need to recognize that if we're going to invite blessings within our lives, if we're going to desire to be nurtured by the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ, then we must have a sacrificial commitment to God in our lives. And when we have that sacrificial commitment to God in our lives, then we will have and work toward the ultimate patience that God asks of us and requires of us. I want to read a couple of other passages for you. Go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, or rather the 10th chapter. These passages for thought and consideration as we're about to close the lesson. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 38 and 39. Matthew 10, 38 and 39. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Discipleship requires a cost. The same point is made by Jesus in Luke, the 14th chapter. When we think that we can improve on patience, whether it is to get more patience or to recognize that we've become so patient as to be ineffective as a spouse, as a parent, as a Christian, When we think it can be done without effort, then we're fooling ourselves. And we're not seeking that which costs us in our growth before the Lord. Superficial treatment of any issue is only going to yield a superficial cure to that problem. And so a superficial treatment of patience or impatience will not bring us the core changes that need to take place within our lives. We must be willing, as children of God, to recognize that there are no shortcuts in our service to God. We must recognize that sacrifice always requires the giving up of something. We must learn to recognize that if we want to improve ourselves, it is done so by entering into activities, actions that require time, involvement, determination for what is right in the eyes of God. If you think you can get patience on the cheap without effort, then your loved ones around you will tell you that you have not attained the patience you thought you had. So be willing to put forth the effort. Be willing to seek the advice of your loved ones and those around you to say, where is my deficiencies in the matter of patience? They may tell you that you're not patient enough. And believe it or not, and this is hard for me because I tend to be an impatient person, they may tell you you're way too impatient. You're way too patient. And you're not willing to act. When we as a family need for you to act, when we need our wife or our husband, when we need our children to act, or when we as a congregation need the action for one another, rather than the patience that simply becomes an excuse to do nothing. Those are the things I wanted to share with you with regard to patience. And I hope you'll give yourself honest examination to determine where you are along that continuum and strive to reach that point of biblical equilibrium as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. There may be someone else in the audience that has not put on Christ in baptism and understand the value of it. We would hope that you would not leave here tonight outside the body of Christ, but rather you would allow the blood of Christ to begin working in your life even this night. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.